they're going to labor in vain to build it.
Yes.
And so we're desiring that the Lord would meet with us. But I am very thankful that that's His desire also, is to meet with us. And I also want to tell the Lord thanks for the simplicity of the gospel. You know, so easily it could be something up here to where we cannot grasp it. We cannot understand it. But instead, He brought it down to where I can understand it, and I'm thankful for it. In the New Testament, there were so many times where Jesus would use a parable. His desire was to bring it down to where your daily living will cause you to think about spiritual things. And you know what? That didn't just stop in the New Testament. I believe He would like for that same thing to happen to us on a daily basis. That we just have events happening in the day, and it causes my mind to go to spiritual things. And so, the message that I have that I'd like to start with tonight, I would like to use a parable of my own. Because I am thankful that the Lord brings it down to where I can grasp it myself. I would like to talk to you about the value of inventory. And the example that I want to give you, we don't see it much anymore. But with our checking accounts, it used to be that a statement came in the mail at the end of every month. So many of us now probably are just doing banking online where you could check every day what your balance is. It's hard to think about the way it used to be. But you know what? It used to be that it was your responsibility. It's my responsibility throughout the month. Keep track of your checking account. And at the end of the month, they would send a statement. You know, through the month, it's my responsibility. At the end of the month, now they have sent me a statement of what it really is. You know, I have an option there. Because if you've ever taken that paper statement before, and you start working through your checkbook, making sure everything is there, that takes a lot of time. And why? I'm busy. I've got things I need to do. And anyhow, I've still got some more blank checks in there. And so, and my balance says it's okay. So you know what would be real easy for me to do is throw that one in the trash. Because over here, I have already written down what I really have. And that should be it. There's another mistake that I have made in the past, is to decide that it's the bank's fault because my balance doesn't say the same as theirs. I can remember one time, and I don't think I've ever done it again, when I went to the bank and told them, you have a problem. Your balance is not right. And they start working through there, and they say, now here's where the, you know, they're real nice about it because they want you to stay with them. But they say, this is where your problem is right here. And it turned out to be my problem. You know, it is, I want to deal with spiritual things tonight, but I want to have in our mind how temporal things can lead us to think about spiritual. I work back in Oklahoma City. I work in an office building and do maintenance on that office building. And the company I work for does not own that building. There is someone else. We just maintain it for an owner. And every once in a while, they will maybe call and ask, you know, how are things going? Is everything running okay? And, you know, my assessment is, yes, it's fine. But, you know, they will about once a year send one of their own representatives to walk the building and check the building to see if what it really is the same as what I say it is. Another example, we don't see it so much today. But there used to be times when a store would close up and they would put a sign on the front, we're closed for inventory. Now, you know, that's a waste of money in a way. They could have made some more money if they had continued selling that day. But they saw a value in stopping what we're doing. Let's go back and check our stock. Let's check our records in the office. Let's see if we are making money or not. You know, that's really kind of the bottom line of it all. What are we doing? You know, some stores, maybe they would say, we're not stopping for inventory. We're going to keep on making money. You know what can happen down the road? They do stop and they put a sign up, we're out of business. We have not been taking inventory of what's going on. So what I'd like for us to do tonight as we start this meeting is ask the Lord to help me take inventory of where do I stand before you. And here is a verse. I want to look in Psalms 119 and 109. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. You know what? That's why it's real important for me to take inventory, because my soul and the destiny of my soul is in my hand continually. And there's another verse that I want us to look at, and it's in Romans, in the 14th chapter of Romans. This is something else that I need to always remember. Starting in the 11th verse, 14th chapter of Romans, it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You know, there's coming a final inventory for each one of us. When I stand before God with no opportunities to make adjustment anymore, that will be the final inventory that God takes of my life. That's why it's so valuable today if the Lord would come along and visit me. You know, we heard in the prayer request time several that said, you know what, I have some spiritual needs. You know what, really, all of us could probably raise our hand, because maybe I have spiritual needs and I don't even know it. And I want to ask the Lord, Lord, I would like for you to take inventory of my life. If there's something that I'm missing, Lord, I would like for you to show it to me. I don't want to be like the temptation is with my checkbook to say, I know what the balance is, everything's okay. Because I'm going for a final inventory one day, and I want to be ready. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he gave real good instruction to his son. Keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. And then Solomon failed to keep his own heart, failed to take inventory of his own condition, of where he was, did not see it like God saw it. You know, there is a danger for us. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 21 and 2. You know, because when I look at my life, if I did not think it was right, I wouldn't be doing it. A lot of times that's where we can be. But I need the Lord to do the inventory for me. I would like to go to a verse in Psalms 139, because when I can really get a picture of the inventory that God is able to do, then I need to go to Him and ask Him to search me. Psalms 139, and starting in the first verse, this is the inventory that God is able to do. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and Thou art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. You know, we need to be reminded every once in a while of that. God knows me better than I know myself. He knows right where I stand. And an example of that was Simon Peter. Because you know what? It's real easy. If I'm not careful, I really don't even know my own heart. When Jesus came to Simon, and this is, let's go ahead and look at it. That's in Luke 22. Because I can look at Simon Peter and his answers and think, Simon, why weren't you looking ahead? And then I can find, you know what? It's real easy for me to be in the same condition. Luke 22, and in the 31st verse, This is an inventory from Jesus about Peter. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." The Lord is taking an inventory, telling Simon Peter about it. Kind of like my checkbook, what am I going to do with it? I can throw it in the trash and say, I know where I am. Simon knew where he was. And he said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." See, Simon Peter did an inventory of himself, and he said, "I know where I am." You know, I'm in the place today where I need to be real careful even about my own inventories. Yeah. Lord, I think this is where I am. But you know, Peter could have bypassed a lot of trouble in his life if he would have talked to the Lord right there and said, "Lord, I thought I was in a better place than what you're saying I'm about to be in. But Lord, I understand that you know the thoughts and the intents of hearts. So Lord, I'm going to cast aside my thoughts about myself and I ask you, would you help me?" What if he would have prayed and asked the Lord for the grace and strength that he needed right there? But instead he had an assessment. And you know, I was looking at that. Was Peter a hypocrite when he said what he said? Not at all. Peter knew his heart. That was Peter's real desire. It's just that he really wasn't there yet. You know what? That same thing can happen to me. Lord, this is where I am right here. I can handle these troubles that are maybe out in the future. When the Lord is telling me, "Dan, if you only could know what I know about you and about the future," there's a prayer that we all need to pray. And it's at the end of that chapter that tells us in Psalms that the Lord knows my downsitting, my uprising, Psalm 139. That chapter ends with a prayer that I need to be praying. 23rd verse of Psalms 139, "Search me, O God, know my heart." You know, I think I know mine, but God's the one that really does know it. "Try me and know my thoughts." You know what? That's really not saying, "Lord, you don't know them unless I give you the opportunity." No, what that's doing is, "Lord, help me to see it just like you see it. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So I look at this, and it really would be good for me to ask the Lord the same thing. "Lord, I want you to search me. Because like Peter, I can feel like everything is okay. But Lord, I need you to check where I am." Have you ever heard this said before? Someone says, "The Lord's really blessing my life because my finances are really in order. You know, I've got lots of money, so the Lord must be approving of my life." You know, there's a verse for us to remember, 1 Timothy 6:5. "Supposing that gain is godliness." I'm going to need something more to test whether I'm godly than whether I'm getting gain financially. Because there was a man, and this is in Luke, the 12th chapter. You know, I think about preaching. There won't be a scripture that we use that you say, "You know, I've never heard that scripture before." But I think what the Lord wants to do is just remind us, bring to our remembrance, stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Because here is another example. In Luke 12 and in the 15th verse, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And you remember the next verses tell us another parable. "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." You know, we could look at this story right here and we could really kind of even put ourselves in that category. You know, I'm getting on up old enough, it's high time now to start making some plans for retirement. That's really what this man was doing. There was not a sin in him desiring that when he planted a crop that it would give more than what he had planted in the ground, or that he was a good farmer and he knew how to make it produce more. There was nothing wrong with that. There was nothing wrong with him needing to build a larger barn to take care of the produce that he got from it until he could sell it. But where he messed up was when he started talking to his soul. And you know, maybe we would say, I never would talk to my soul that way. No, I wouldn't just in words, but you know, I can in action. This is what's very important. The world will tell us at my age, retirement is where it's at. You get to retirement age with a pile of cash and you have arrived. You know what I'm finding at my age? When I get to retirement age, I'm one step away from the grave. And you know, so many people that are coming to that place, it's almost like that's not the next step. Forget that step. You have arrived. Just like this man right here. Say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. And then his final inventory was taken. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose is all this going to be that you've saved up? You know, that's a warning for me. A final inventory is coming for every one of us. That's why it's so important for me going through my life to say, Lord, go ahead and give me some inventories now, like you did with Peter. And Lord, help me to recognize them and take advantage of them. Got another example that I'd like to give you. The second and third chapter of Revelations, there were letters given to churches. And each of those, they began with a message. I know thy works. Yes. You know what? That if there was a letter written to me by Jesus tonight, he could really say the same thing. Yes. Dan, I know your works. And then he started with each of those churches, letting them know. And he gave, I believe, to every one of them, there was something positive that they were doing. But then he was faithful because there's a final inventory coming where we all head out into eternity. He was faithful to not just stop with, I'm going to tell you the positive, but I know it would hurt you if I told you the negative, so I won't. No, he told them just where they stood before him. And there was one in Revelations 3 and 17. When I look at the Laodicean church and we talk about inventory, they had already taken inventory. And they had already decided just where they stood. 3 and 17. Because thou sayest, and this is in red letters, so this is Jesus talking to them. Thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. And his inventory of them was so different. Yes. Knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But that was not the final inventory for them. He was coming along, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. There's some changes that you can make in your life. This is not the final inventory. It's just one of those to show me where I stand before him. So what about for my life today? You know, we read the story about the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee, when he stood up and prayed, he took inventory of who he was. Yeah. Lord, I fast twice in the week. I give of all that I possess, and I'm not like this other man over here. But you know, at the end of it all, what I need is for the Lord to approve of my life. There's a verse that says, it's not he that commendeth himself that's approved, but it's whom the Lord commendeth. And that's what I need, is for him to be able to give his stamp of approval on my life. So as I think about inventory, and if I thought about my life like a store and what's in it, what do I have stocked on the shelves of my heart today? You know what? I really will need the Lord to be able to show me that. Have you ever been hurt? You ever had somebody hurt you, your feelings? You know what's real easy to do? There's a verse that tells us, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And you know what's going to be the easiest thing for me to say is, I would never call it bitterness. It's just, I'm hurt. But you know what? There's some things that I can stock on the shelves of my heart that the Lord would like to come along and say, I need you to take inventory and get rid of this one. You know, unforgiveness is something that is a danger for every one of us. The danger is that I won't call it that. I will just call it that I'm hurt. And you know, that one is so serious that Jesus goes to the level to say, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will not forgive yours. And so what I want to do is search the inventory of my heart at times like that and say, Lord, I need your stamp of approval on this one, because it would be real easy for me to call it something different than it is. Just last month, we went to Germany for a meeting. And while we were there, someone asked, would we go with a couple of the brothers there to a hospital to visit an elderly man that was dying. And so as we went there to see him, he has a very short time to live. You know, it's kind of interesting to ask, can you tell me about his life? Is he saved? Yes, he's saved. He's ready to go today. Well, what about his life? They said that he had been a heavy alcoholic. He had mistreated his wife during that time. But they said he's saved now. But there's something wrong in the home. The wife remembers the past and cannot forgive the man he used to be. And so I thought, you know, that's sad. Maybe he just got saved last month or something and she's having a hard time with it. I said, how long? They're still living in the same house, but she cannot forgive the way he used to be. And I said, how long has he been saved? 30 years. 30 years. You know, unforgiveness is like poison. It's to the person that holds it, it's like poison. When she could have been freed and enjoyed the benefit that salvation brought into the home, she could never reach that level. Inventory that I need to take in my life. Not just in that area, but there's other areas. There's a fruit of the Spirit. I'd like to look at it. It's what God would like for me to have stocked on the shelves of my heart. It's in Galatians. Because I need to be able to have it, and I need to be able to take inventory and ask the Lord, do I have it? 5:22. Because there's a few verses before that that says the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And you know, we could go through there step by step, and I really even need in those areas, just, Lord, I want to take inventory. Or is there anything that I've got the works of the flesh going on? But then it goes on down and says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and it starts naming out some things. The very first one is love. You know, I was thinking about the verse, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you have love, not just one for another, but it goes between us, one to another. It would be good for me to check the shelves of my heart. How much do I have stocked of that fruit? You know, you go into a store a lot of times, if you like to buy fruit, you want to see what the stock is. You don't want something that is, it wants to look appealing to you. You know what? I need these fruit of the Spirit to be appealing to the world around me. There's a song we sing, I'm only an earthen vessel. The graces within are not mine. It's not something that I have developed over time and now I am really good at. No, I'm only an earthen vessel. These graces that I have, they're really not mine. For the love, the power, and the glory belong to the Savior divine. So that next one, the fruit of the Spirit, joy. You know, I live for the Lord because I understand the other option is not what I want. There was a time when I was a young person, and that was my reason for living for the Lord. I don't want to go to hell. You know what? I'm going to need to have joy because over a period of time, without there being some joy coming, I'm going to want to turn around and go back. But the Scripture tells us, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. It needs to be fresh coming up in my life on a daily basis. Gentleness. How much is stocked on the shelves of my heart? Long suffering. How long? Peter said, Lord, what about it? Seven times, that ought to be long enough. And Jesus said, 70 times seven. You just be willing to suffer long and forgive. So I look at all of these areas. And what I'm so glad about is I'm not the one that has to produce these. In a store, when they see that we're low on an item, they'll fill out an order form, and the distribution center will send them some more of what they're needing. Back at home, Walmart has huge distribution centers. And you know what those stores, all they need to do is get their list together and call it out, and it's brought to them. You know what I think about God and the distribution center that He has for me to call on Him, Lord, I need more grace. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. I cannot generate more of it in my life. But what I can do is, you know, we don't like to have things come into our life that show us who we are. That's not a pleasant experience. But how would I learn that I need to order more patience without somebody trying it? Somebody letting me know you're empty on it. So many of these other fruits, how am I going to know I need them? How do I know I need long suffering if I've never needed to suffer long? Each of these, I want to have them in my life. And I want to tonight realize that I'm going out into eternity someday. There will be a final inventory. Remember the verse that says, my son, don't despise the chastenings of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You know what? When he comes to me to show me, Dan, there's a change that you need to make in who you are. I need to be thanking God that it's this inventory instead of the final one. I have opportunity to make changes in my life. All of the seven churches were given an opportunity to make an adjustment. Jesus could have said, at this time it closes out for you and you will be ushered out into eternity. No, what he did was he gave them each one an opportunity to make an adjustment. There's another place that I'd like to look at. It's in 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter. Because we're living in a time where we need to go back to Scripture and ask the Lord, what would you have me to do? In the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians and in the 19th verse, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I need to remember that. Because you know what? We are crowded with what the world says is okay today. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, we hear more recently than for a long time about abortion in the world. It's a woman's right. This says we've been bought with a price. You know, I really saved or unsaved, We're not our own. God is the one that's in control, and we will be called into account. There's another verse in 1 Corinthians 3, and in the 16th verse. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You know, we're living in a time where the fashion industry is driving people's choices. You need to wear this. And this is not just for women. This is for men. When I saw a fashion come out a few years ago, I thought, who came up with this? And it is the one for men to don't wear a belt and wear baggy pants to where both hands are busy. They're hanging on to hold your pants up. But you know, somebody came out and said, you will be cool if you will wear this. You know, if everybody would have said, forget it, I am not doing that. But instead, it was a fashion, and it caught on. I need to remember that the fashion industry does not drive the Christian's life. What I do is I check with God. Lord, I want you to be pleased with my life. And there's a verse that says, are you adorning the doctrine, the glorious doctrine of God, walking so holy before Him, following where He hath trod? And here's the reason. So when the world looks upon you, nothing but Christ is in view. That is the important thing. But you know, the Bible gives us some guidelines for us, that no matter which way the fashion industry is running, there's a guideline for us. And it is in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and in the 9th verse. In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. Have you seen any of the fashions of the world? Its intention was that you would have shamefacedness. It's almost always to draw attention to myself. This one says, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, gold, pearls, costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness. You know what? That's what we're really doing. We're professing godliness. There are a lot of professing Christians today that say it does not matter what is on the outside. God looks on the heart. But I want you to think for a little bit about this inventory parable that we're looking at. If you went to a store that says it's a grocery store, and you walked in and it was selling furniture, you would say, wait a minute, something is not right. You know what? It's the same way with us today. If I say I'm a Christian, when they come and check what's on the inside, it needs to match up inside and out. I want to be very careful. Because there's a verse that says, be thou an example of the believer, so that when the world looks upon me, they would be able to see Christ in everything I do. Not just in what I wear, but in my conduct. When I am doing business with other people, whether the church people see it or not, throughout my life, that there would be a consistency. And it's done with me taking inventory of my life, and with God taking inventory and me being willing to let Him do it. There is another verse I'd like to look at. 1 John. As I take inventory, I need to always remember this verse. 1 John 2 and 15. Love not the world. You know, that scripture has stayed in the Bible all this time. As styles, as all things change around us, this one stays consistent. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. This is the final inventory for all people. It's going to pass away one day. And eternity is out ahead. So the choices that I make, I need the Lord to be able to check, to take inventory for me. Because I was thinking of a verse in John 14 and 30. Jesus was able to take inventory of himself. I want to be able to have him give me this kind of testimony. The 30th verse of John 14, Jesus speaking, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." You know, the inventory that I want to be able to have is to see if the devil has anything that he can touch in my life. Because he will come around one day. Remember the verse that says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, that spirit circles around, seeking rest and finding none, and it comes back. And it finds it empty, swept, and garnished. No inventory. The fruit of the Spirit is not there. You know what? I want to be like Jesus, that when Satan comes, there's nothing that I own of his, but I am filled with some other things. I have some other things working in my life, because there is a final inventory coming. You know, we have heard it, I've heard it all my life, that the end of time is coming. You know what? That's not so important to me anymore, because I know my end is coming. I could be gone and the world go on for another 1,000 years, and it will not matter at all for me. The end of all things has come for me. And so what is very, very important for me, and as the meeting starts through this remainder this week, I'd like for it to be important for each of us, is, Lord, I want you to do inventory on my life today. And show it to me in a way that I can understand. And Lord, by your help, I'll measure to that. I would like to close with a song. It's not in our book, but some of you will know it if you'll sing it with me. This is like that prayer of Psalms 139. "Search me." I think the song is maybe listed, "Cleanse me." "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. revival comes from Thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares Thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead. The Lord has already taken inventory of my life and each of our lives. What He would like to do is on a daily basis show us what He sees. But what I'm going to have to do is have an open heart to Him, that when He shows me, I would not be like Peter and say, "No, Lord, I think You've got it wrong. I'm willing to die with You." When He says, "Peter, You're going to deny Me before the night's over," I want the Lord to be able to search my life. Because at the beginning of the searching, if I will follow through with it, then the blessings can follow. That on a daily basis, "Lord, just show me if there's anything that needs to be adjusted, and I'll be glad to do it." And then one day when He does the final adjustment, I will have just talked to Him and had Him do inventory on my life, and I'm ready for the final one. I desire Your prayers.